Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 21st of December, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets were noticeably firmer. Good action in Asia, not least by China. Hang Seng Index up 1.57%. Japan also strong, up 1.5%. On the Nikkei, the previously lagging ASEAN stock markets were mostly firmer, and we saw solid gains in Europe. And interestingly, some of the southern European markets, which had really been battered, IBEX, for instance, at Spain and Italy, Spain up over 2%, Italy up over 1.75%, but solid across the boards. The UK up just over 1%. Now, again, North America, Wall Street was firm, closing out near the highs of the day. The S&P hitting a new high for the year, currently at 1254.6.60. And that was up 0.6%. Good stuff here overall. Now, in the long-dated government bonds, the European bond prices, long-dated bond prices, slipped a little bit. The U.S. ones had slipped, but have firmed here in the last hour or so. What else do we have? We've got the U.S. dollar. I guess it's mixed. I was going to say it's up a fraction. It's up a fraction on the dollar index. That's because sterling and the euro are a little bit lower. Euro is back to 131. Sterling at 154.69. But the commodity currencies are doing well. Aussie dollar up to 99.69. And one of the reasons for the strength in those commodity currencies, this has been a good day for the metals in particular here. Precious metals are very steady. Palladium up 10 at 754, and platinum up 12 as I speak. That's 1727, almost 1728. Gold a little bit quieter, but steady, 1385 and a half. And silver unchanged at the moment. But copper romped again, 429. Solid gains. That's up 8.5 cents. And let's see, elsewhere, let's see, crude oil, we're up to 90, or 89.99, mustn't exaggerate. Natural gas a little bit easier in here today. Lumber is almost limit down in this late trading, $10, but it's been on a tear recently. We have grain and bean complex a bit mixed. Soybeans had the best day. Corn was up a little bit. Wheat a little bit lower. But more commodities up than down for sure. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock market's concerned, 2010 has been a pretty good year. There are some markets that have not performed. And those would be some of the weaker European stock markets, which are still down on the year. Asian and South American leaders have registered the best gains overall. But the most interesting thing to my mind at this stage, in terms of our analysis as we go forward, is the relative strength of Wall Street. Now, the S&P, as of tonight's closes, is up 12.5% on the year. And the NASDAQ Composite Index is up 17.5% on the year. Now, that's a really solid performance, and few people were predicting gains like that at the beginning of the year. I think there are good reasons for it. The very accommodative monetary policy, as we've said. I'll run through some of those other factors in a moment. But the implications of this, I think, are important because Wall Street is always the elephant in the room as far as global stock markets are concerned, and my veteran subscribers going back decades will know that I've always talked about the Wall Street leash effect. And if Wall Street is steady, let alone firm, that allows other markets to do well. And if Wall Street is weak, it exerts a drag. The leash effect is not as strong in 2010 as it has been in earlier years, go back earlier decades, when it was really nothing uncoupled for decades, nothing uncoupled. Whereas we did have the fascinating phenomenon of a number of the Asian markets uncoupling back as of June of this year, and I talked about that a lot, as you may recall. But I don't want to digress because while we do have some uncoupling, which is relatively new, the or any earlier uncoupling was extremely unusual. The importance here today is that Wall Street's overall strength is a positive for global equities generally. Now, in the very short term, you can get a little bit of switching out of other markets and into Wall Street by active traders in these markets. But the bottom line here for me, I feel, is that with Wall Street in form, very much in form, that the other markets that had become quite overextended and were getting some mean reversion correction, they're more likely to move sideways than fall back sharply, so long as Wall Street is in form. And as we head towards the year end, that's, I think, a very positive overall background for global stock markets. Now, what about the factors here that are in play? Well, I've mentioned that so often that monetary policy trumps most other factors most of the time, and that's been the case all year and earlier, of course. Very accommodative monetary policy, very low interest rates. Yes, they've moved up in the faster-growing economies, but they're still negative in terms of rates of inflation. So the net result is accommodative monetary policy, which is good for equities. It's not so good for bonds, but bonds have had a delayed reaction to this because bond buyers were really enamored of that deflation depression scenario. But more on bonds in a moment. In other factors for equities, we've had some switching away from those bond markets to shares quite recently, and I think that'll be a feature of 2011 as well. And we do not have a currency crisis here right now. This will flare up from time to time. Obviously, it will, but it's not. People aren't waking up at night worrying about currencies, or if they are, whatever they're smoking, stop, or inhaling, stop, because we have a paucity of crises at the moment. We have a very big one that few people are talking about that I think is going to cause problems at some point in 2011. The danger period will probably be from the second quarter through the third quarter, and that is that commodity markets continue to rise, and therefore we have some real commodity price inflation. It's supply and elasticity meets rising demand in terms of the industrial commodities. Well, it also applies to the agricultural commodities. The supply isn't just inelastic, it's shrunk as a result of climate change for whatever its reasons. And it'll be a bit of everything, I suspect. And therefore, we do have these inflationary pressures building. Now, do they come on gangbusters in the first quarter? Does it happen much more slowly? What about energy? These are all the questions that will be answered on the day-to-day analysis by the charts. But no listener to these audios is unaware of this growing risk. But fortunately, this risk is also an opportunity here right now because we have attractive plays in these commodity markets. More on that in a moment. Now, first, what about the bonds? Well, government bond prices have steadied in the last week after a very sharp sell-off. In other words, a spike upwards in yields. To me, that strength that we've seen in yields, it just provides further evidence to support my hypothesis, which is basically that long-dated government bond yields are bottoming out and they're heading higher. Now, if that's correct, then the only remaining debating point is the length and duration, shape and duration of the base that actually forms, bases that actually form in the yields. And my hunch is that it'll be a combination of type 2 with right-hand extension and type 3. Now, you have to have taken the chart seminar to know what that actually means, but the type 2 base, you have some ranging down near the lows, and then you get a spike higher. And it really does, it is really is breathtaking. It's much stronger than even the people who are expecting it expected, or expecting a rise expected. And the sort of thing that could take the US 30-year Treasury bond yield right up to 5, 5.5%. It's below 4 right now. So that's the type of action that we could possibly see. I hope it doesn't, because I want more time and baby step shorting and so on. But that's by the by. The market doesn't care what I would like to see here. I think that it was the lack of reality in terms of thinking. It was the end of the mania in the bond market where investors really felt that they had a bargain, or at least a safe holding, in these ridiculously low yields at a time when so many governments, particularly Western governments, were pumping out bonds like there was no tomorrow to finance their yawning deficits. And they were printing money also, so sowing the seeds of future inflation, the first signs of which we see, of course, in the commodity markets. So, excuse me, I would not want to have any long-dated government bonds. Some people may have a legitimate reason for holding short-term maturities. I'll just correct that earlier statement. If I had any long-dated government bonds, which I don't, but they would be in the emerging markets where the yields are considerably higher already. Now, I'm just going to take off the headset a moment and have a quick drink of water, since the voice is getting a bit scratchy. What suspension? There we are, back again. Okay. So, I think, as I've said practically daily, that we're in the beginning of a new secular bear market in long-dated government bond yields. Now, that would be, of course, rising yields and falling bond futures prices. And I've given you half the reasons why I said that, and all the money printing, the debt that's out there, that should be reason enough. But also, we had this extraordinary factor of a 30-year bull market in long-dated government bonds, Well, if market history teaches us anything, it teaches us that one extreme, one big secular trend like that is almost invariably followed, not just by mean reversion, but by a secular trend in the opposite direction. It's the closest you get to a natural law of physics in what is basically a behavioral science here of markets driven by liquidity and psychology. But you stretch it too far in one direction and it goes a long way in the opposite direction. And the eureka moment can be quite dramatic as these trends initially reverse, thus leading to the type two bottom, which you see the low, you get a little ranging near the low, and then prices just spike upwards very dramatically before eventually pulling back in a right-hand extension. The slower bottoming out process is the type three, where it just ranges. They range sometimes for years. I don't think that will happen, although it may happen with some of the markets, but I don't think it'll happen with the U.S. Treasuries, given the overall inflationary policies pursued by the Fed. Okay, what about the commodity? Just with the bonds, I'm just hoping these futures rally up a little bit further here, and I'll start baby steps selling as they correct the short-term oversold position. Now, in terms of the commodities, the grain and bean complex remains interesting. I've said enough about that, so I don't want this audio to go on for too long. The big day on this is going to be the 12th of January. The higher prices go in the interim, the greater the risk that it'll be a case of buy this rumor, buy the story, and sell the news. We'll see. But at the moment, I'm happy to play this to the upside. I can play it through all the grains and beans, but I've played it with corn in particular and wheat, a little bit of wheat. Now, in precious metals, here we've been seeing some mean reversion consolidation, and the short-term trends, as you know, had become overextended. If you want to see, I mean, I think one can say that very objectively. Just look at weekly charts. Can look at weekly candlestick charts with a 200-day moving average on those. And you'll see exactly what I mean. Now, platinum's the least overextended, which is why I've built up a bigger position in platinum, but I've said enough about that recently. I bought a little palladium today. I went back into palladium. I certainly have reservations about the possibility of some additional mean reversion, but the pattern is very steady, and so I decided to have a little of that. If I get caught and the market plunges down, it won't be a disaster, because it's not that big a position. If it moves higher, I might consider a break-even stop and eventually trailing stop and leverage up a little bit. In the event that there's another momentum move, which I'm not predicting at this stage, but it's a possibility. Obviously, it's a possibility in my mind, or I wouldn't have bought the palladium in here today. Silver would be another candidate, but I preferred to go with the palladium because it's been the leader of this current medium-term cycle more often than not. The not periods are when it's shared the leadership with silver. And in terms of commodity inflation, the big one's crude oil. If you look at that chart pattern, that weekly chart pattern, it certainly looks as if it will break up out of that pattern overall. I think natural gas, particularly the shale gas, is helping to hold it back somewhat. That's gas prices in the USA, but gas prices in Europe, as those of us who live in Europe know to our chagrin, are considerably higher. Brent crude is considerably higher, almost $2 above the NYMEX crude, which is at 90 as I speak. And it all depends on how quickly the price of oil moves upwards in 2011. Does it spike higher? Go on a tear, which would not occur without a fair amount of speculative activity. Any kind of supply problems would of consequence would favor that scenario. But the spikes, it has to be said, are relatively rare occurrences, and hopefully that will be the case this time. If we get crude oil romping up to $140, $150 again, as we saw in 2008, it'll create another growth recession for the stronger economies and an outright recession for the weaker economies, which include most of Europe and the USA. But that hasn't happened yet. I'm just trying to outline these things, looking at the trouble spots. And as I see it, most of the trouble spots for the future will be commodities. In the meantime, there are opportunities for profit in these commodity markets. Currencies, I don't think we're going to see any big drama in here in the short term. You never know, but we have a lull period. We have a lull in the currency market activity here at the moment. All eyes on stock markets, bonds, and commodities is the way the game's going right now. And on that note, interesting day, profitable day. All the best to all of you.